You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's Monday edition, everybody, of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry with you on a Monday, January the 3rd, and a Tuesday, January the 4th. It is the final regular season game, final week of the regular season here. Week 18, Lions and Packers coming up at Ford Field this coming Sunday. Green Bay has wrapped up the NFC North. They've wrapped up the entire NFC for the first round and beyond. They'll get a first round bye. They're the top seed. Packers don't need this game. Aaron Rodgers made some comment yesterday like, yeah, maybe I'll play a little bit on Sunday. He's not going to play. The Lions are actually 1.5-point favorites this week. First time all year. Because Vegas knows that none of the Packer regulars are going to play. The game means absolutely nothing to Green Bay. So we're going to be seeing Jordan Love and Equanimous St. Brown and all these guys coming up on Sunday. But a lot to talk about on the show today after yesterday's 51-29 loss to the Seahawks as the Lions really got pushed around yesterday. If you missed the post-game pod yesterday, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Twitter at Derry Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter, and on the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. We thank you for listening and making us your first listen each and every day. I got some thoughts on this rebuild and where the Lions are right now. We'll get into that. Some Matthew Stafford stat. For all you Stafford bashers out there, you're not going to like this. PFF, top five and bottom five offensive and defensive players from yesterday. Latest COVID news. Dan Campbell today lauding somebody for no reason that I don't understand. And the 2022 Lions opponents are out. And if you're a... If you work for the Lions and you are trying to sell tickets, this wasn't good. But because the opponents coming in next year aren't exactly like, ooh, I got to get some tickets for this game. Ooh, I got to come see this team. Which, you know, isn't going to help matters. But regardless, we appreciate you listening and joining us today. Where do I start? All right. One of my crack research staff people says, oh, you got to hit them with this one today. And, you know, I was watching some of the games last night, and I was texting with one of my research people. And I can't keep a straight face saying that either. Matthew Stafford has led the L.A. Rams to a 12-4 record, and they're going to the playoffs, and they are currently right now the number two seed in the NFC. They can win the division with a win over the weekend, this coming weekend over the Niners. But if they lose and Arizona wins. The NFC West. But Stafford's 12-4 with one game to go. It's his best record in the season's first 16 games of his career. His previous best was, of course, under Jim Caldwell in 2014 when the Honolulu Blue and Silver Warriors went 11-5. So he'll win the division for the first time in his career if the Rams win Sunday. Barring some ties and everything else. And with 12 wins through 16 games, Stafford has 10 more wins than the Lions do. We know the Lions are 2-13-1 with one game to go. If he wins in Week 18, he'll have at least 10, possibly 11 more wins than the Lions this season. You got to look this up. I got to have somebody look this up. You have to wonder what the NFL record is for the margin of quarterback wins versus the win total of their former team the next season. You know, I don't know if anybody's gone from a two-win team. You know, well, the previous season, the Lions, what, won five games last year? And now, I mean, now Stafford's going to win 12 or 13 this year. So yesterday I was watching a little bit. Stafford throws a pick six against the Ravens. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing this. And he fumbles, and he throws an arm punt, INT. He had three turnovers yesterday. But if he's playing exactly the way you thought he was supposed to play, which is a little bit ragged with the footballs, throwing a lot of interceptions, but the team is winning, haven't we kind of confirmed that the organization didn't do a good enough job building the team around him? Because he wasn't even a Pro Bowler this year. Frick, at the start of the year, it's, oh, Stafford for MVP, Stafford for Pro Bowl. Didn't make it. He's thrown a ton of pick sixes. I think six now for his career. I think he has four this year. I mean, he wasn't great yesterday. You know, he rallied the team at the end of the game, and he hit Odell, and they won. They beat the Ravens. And, hey, going on the road to beat Baltimore, even though Baltimore without Lamar Jackson, still decent team. But I just was thinking about that as I'm watching the highlights, and they're talking about Stafford yesterday. Look, he could play flame out in the first round. It wouldn't surprise me. Nothing would surprise me. But he hasn't. My point of the whole thing is that he has 12 wins, about to be 13 possibly, winning the division, and he struggled over the last few games. But yet they put a pretty darn good team around him. And they're winning in spite sometimes of him. Now, on the other side, we had to watch Tim Boyle yesterday. And today I was very surprised when I was listening to Dan Campbell's Monday press conference, and he's waxing poetic. He was asked about it. And to Dan Campbell's credit, he's fantastic on these press conferences. He answers every question. He's honest. He's very cool and treats the media with a lot of respect. Dan Campbell was asked about Tim Boyle today, and he said, I like what I see. There's something there. He's getting better. Like, what? That one I don't understand. I see nothing. And I think come next year, the Lions are going to have to find a backup quarterback and draft a quarterback. They may need two new ones because David Blough can't get into the game. Even when the starter in Pittsburgh's arm was dragging. And then the minute Tim Boyle got back from being injured for like 10 weeks, David Blough went right back to the number three spot. Yesterday was another prime example where it was a blowout. Boyle's throwing the ball to the other team. See what David Blough can do. But they seem to like Tim Boyle, and I just don't understand why. You know, I can give you a little hint. Tim Boyle was not a top five PFF graded player yesterday, nor was he a bottom five. His grade was a 62.4, right in the middle. Passing grade of under 60, which is not very good. And, you know, I'm not saying that Tim Boyle is going to be Russell Wilson or outplay Russ or anything like that, but this is a guy that to me just, I don't see it. Now, it's a very small sample size, but I'm surprised today to hear Dan Campbell really go on and on about Tim Boyle. Now, he just needs an opportunity, and he's getting better, and needs more reps, and all this type of stuff. So, we'll see if Tim Boyle gets any more game time or any more, you know, Jared Goff, Dan Campbell said today, is doing better, of course. He's coming back from COVID and had a knee problem. But I would think that the Lions would go for it this week, try to win this game, play as many of their regulars as they can to gain some momentum for next year. I think they're going to want Jared Goff out there. They've already locked up a top two pick. Jacksonville's not beating Indianapolis, who's playing for a playoff spot. That's not happening. So the Lions will finish likely at number two, regardless if they finish 214-1 or 215, or two, excuse me, 313-1 or 214-1. Either way, I think the Lions are going to be drafting number two. And we're going to spend a lot of time on this show talking about the draft, probably starting next week. All right, some players going on the COVID list today, 2022 opponents. I got more thoughts, all of that coming up on Locked On Lions today, right here on a Monday on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's the new year. We've turned the page to January, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, which mine is, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. I've been telling you guys this for like a year or longer. I love Built Bars. They're better than some candy bars out there. They're amazing. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. By like week three here in January, you're going to be thinking this is just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? Well, we have it for you at Built.com. Built bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. You like mint brownie? It's there. Coconut? It's there. Raspberry? It's there. Cookies and cream? Covered in 100% chocolate. Even if you're not a huge fan of working out, you at least eat something that tastes good, and it's good for you. Most Built bars contain only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar, and you get 17 grams of protein. Do me a favor. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, so Dan Campbell opened up his Monday press conference today with news that Penei Sewell, Taylor Decker, the Lions' best receiver, not named Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Austin Bryant have all been placed on the COVID list. We know that this virus is running rampant through professional sports, heck, through everywhere. But these guys have gotten COVID, apparently. Penei Sewell, I believe, had it right after the draft, too. So this would be the second time for him. If unvaccinated, any of those guys would not play Sunday. Now, we remember Taylor Decker said he was not vaccinated, but then changed his mind. So they would still be eligible if all of these guys are vaccinated and feeling better, would be still eligible to play on Sunday against the Packers. But, you know, you just look at it, and it seems like the list keeps growing week after week here as we've gotten into colder weather and this Omicron variant and everything else. But that's three new guys added to the COVID list for the Lions. And I'm sure there will be more. I saw today Harrison Smith from the Vikings, 12 Philadelphia Eagles put on the COVID list today. So this is what happens when you're blocking, tackling, and on top of other players and breathing on people. This is where we're at right now. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on COVID, but this is the news of the day when it comes to the Lions. Speaking of some of these guys, you know, I was having this discussion earlier, and I want to kind of have thoughts on this. I mean, we're going to get to the PFF grades, I promise, in 2022 and the opponents for next year and what it might mean from a business standpoint. I'm going to do all of that. But let me just say this. I think it was a report yesterday, Ian Rappaport said, oh, Dan Campbell's coming back next year. He should. All right. I mean, we're not firing Dan Campbell. We're not firing Brad Holmes. They need to see this through. But again, there's so many, you know, there's so many different variables that went into this season, whether it was injuries early, guys like Frank Ragnow, Romeo Okwara, et cetera. Those were Jeffrey Okuda early, hit the Lions hard. The fact that this roster needs so much retooling and that they just don't have enough good players. And we could talk about the effort from yesterday and how Seattle pushed him around. And Campbell said today after watching the tape, he just thought they had a great scheme, good running game, and they just blocked better than the Lions tackled. And they went after some of the young guys, he was saying. They exposed some of the youth on the Lions team. But they also exposed something that is pretty apparent around the league, and that is the Lions don't have enough talent. We can talk about coaching. You could talk about assistant coaches. You could talk about effort. Certainly Halloween Day against the Eagles, that was the biggest clunker of the season. The Lions didn't show up. And Dan Campbell said so. There were a few games, even yesterday at times, you watched early and you went, there's no effort here. And Campbell said, no, there's effort. We just got beaten badly. But you look at it, and we're going to do this up until the draft and free agency, but the Lions have got to replace more people. What they find out this year about their roster? They got some guys, all right? But it's not enough. Well, I was having a discussion yesterday with Brandon and Nathan Litke at their house and watching the game. Friends of mine, and Nate's one of our number one listeners. It's like, oh, Jalen Reeves-Maben. Is Jalen Reeves-Maben good? And should he be back? Or is Jalen Reeves-Maben Lions good? I've had this bit for years. We overrate players here because we don't know what really good talent looks like because there hasn't been enough talent in this town in decades. This team's won one playoff win in 60-some-odd years. That was 91 when Herman Moore and Barry Sanders and Lomas, I mean, there was a lot of Chris Spielman. There were a lot of talented players. Barry, Barra. A lot of those guys were out here. There was talent. Lots of it. And now it's like, oh, yeah, you know, we were talking yesterday. Jalen Reeves-Maybin, everybody wants him back. Okay, good special teamer. He's improved as a linebacker. You can see he's been coached up a little bit. But is he somebody that's a lock starter in this league at linebacker? He's been in the league now four, five years? Jalen Reeves-Maybin, 4 years? He's okay. But we look at it and go, ooh, JRM, he's playing good. No, he might be Lions good. Tracy Walker is definition Lions good. He's not good. Oh, Tracy Walker. Come on. Will Harris, he's just bad. He's not Lions bad, Lions good, he's bad. Like, there's just not enough good players. You know, Taylor Decker, that's a good player. Panay Sewell, that's a good player. Charles Harris has had a good year. Don't know if he's really good yet or not. You probably have to bring him back because the Lions can't get to the quarterback. He's the one guy that can. But there's just not enough good players. I think Amani Oruwari is a good player. I don't think he's Lions good. I think he's good. But there aren't enough good players on this team. So we can sit here all day and talk about, Dan Campbell didn't do this. And, you know, I saw somebody today tweet to me at Dairy Speaks. Why didn't you talk more about the fourth and goal yet? Or fourth and one call yesterday? It was horrible. It wasn't a good call. You're right. You like Dan Campbell going for it, but hey, let's stack everybody in tight and run the ball to Jamal Williams and not get it. I hate that. There's nothing creative about that. The Seahawks knew it was coming. But you know what? The Lions don't have enough good players. You had Tommy Kramer at right guard yesterday. You had a rookie in Panay Sewell at right tackle. You had Evan Brown at center. That's the side you ran on? When you've got Jonah Jackson and Taylor Decker on the other side? And for the Lions to be really successful running the football, they've had to put seven, eight linemen out on the field at times. Six, seven, eight linemen on there out there. So we can talk coaching. We can talk the history and all these things with the team. But the bottom line is they need to add more good players. Good, really good players. And they need some impact guys on defense. Who's the last impact player on this defense? Darius Slay? High impact. Sue? Think about where this defense has been since Ndamukong Suh left town. And since the Lions lowballed him. I mean, the defense has been terrible. And Darius Slay's going to the playoffs with the Eagles and is in the Pro Bowl again. He's not on this team. That's frustrating. In a big way. All right, where are we? PFF, and then I want to give you the opponents for next year. All right, no surprise, yesterday's offensive grades in the 51-29 loss to the Seahawks. Amon-Ra St. Brown at it again, the highest graded Lions player on either side of the ball. 88.4, what a find. What a great job by Brad Holmes. That is good scouting and good drafting. Amon-Ra with two touchdowns yesterday, and just I loved after the game yesterday. They asked him about, hey, you broke this rookie record. And, hey, you did this. And he went, I just want to win next week. I just want to beat the Packers. Total team guy. Taylor Decker, number two at 79.7 yesterday on offense. Kadarrell Hodge came in third, 78.5. Tommy Kramer, right guard, 70.8. And Jonah Jackson, 70.3. Those are your top five offensive, highest offensive graded players from ProFootballFocus.com. Bottom five players, Matt Nelson, 44.3. Jared Pinkney, don't know who that is, 44.5. All right, I lied. I mean, he's the tight end. Trinity Benson. Brad Holmes got us Amon-Ra St. Brown. Great job, Brad. Brad Holmes got his Trinity Benson and sent a fifth-round pick for him. Great job, Brad. 48.5. Tom Kennedy, 49.7. I'm sure he's a really nice guy. But if I see Tom Kennedy on this team next year, please. And something called Ross Travis, tight end, 52.0. Those are your top five and bottom five offensive performers yesterday from PFF. On defense, Julian Okwara, number one, 76.8. Aleem McNeil, 75.8. Wow. Good job, Aleem. Derek Barnes came in third, batting third, 69.6. Nice. Dean Marlowe, fourth, 65.3. The Lions are going to need to upgrade at safety. And John Pennacini came in fifth at a 62.1. That should tell you how bad the defense was yesterday. When your fifth highest graded player is in the 60s, you want guys in the 80s and 70s and maybe high 60s. Ay, ay, ay. Bottom five Lions performers. Anthony Pittman, the pride of Wayne State, 26.9. Ouch. Nick Williams, 29.9. Will Harris, 31.1. Need I say more? Austin Bryant, 44.2. And Jalen Reeves-Maben, 72 snaps yesterday. He and Melifonwu played every snap on defense, and Tracy Walker. Jalen Reeves-Maben, 45.9. Those are your top five and bottom five Lions performers on offense and defense from yesterday's loss to the Seattle Seahawks. Hey, Lions fans, Matt Derry here with an incredible app. Everyone who buys gas needs to know about GetUpside. My listeners are making up 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. So you can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card from Amazon and other brands. So just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN. All right, so the opponents for next year are out and announced and set. And, of course, they do it based on yearly rotation of NFC versus AFC. So the Lions will play the AFC East next year after they played the AFC North this year. And then you take into account strength of schedule, so the Lions finish last. So they get the last place schedule. So here's the kicker, all right? We're talking all this Hutchinson or Thibodeau talk and who they're going to draft. And I've told you from day one, the Lions are still a business, all right? The Fords want to make money, all right? They don't want to lose money. They want to win, yes, but still a business. So if it comes down to Brad Holmes saying Hutchinson and Thibodeau are so even, let's say Evan Neal goes number one, the big tackle from Bama to Jacksonville, the Lions are going to take Hutchinson because he'll sell more tickets. Some of the Michigan slaps, they're going to eat this up with a spoon. Yeah, we got Hutch, right? Well, I looked at the home schedule for next year. The Lions will play Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota. They will play six more games at home. They'll get an extra game at home next year after this year being in Denver. They're welcoming in, they're also playing the NFC East, bear in mind, Philadelphia, Washington, Buffalo, Miami, Jacksonville, and Seattle to Ford Field next year. That could be Seattle without Russell Wilson. That could be a Jacksonville team that has nobody. Trevor Lawrence. Buffalo's semi-entertaining. Miami, is there a draw? Washington and Philly, who we just saw this year at Ford Field. Not exactly like, hey, Tom Brady's coming in, or hey, the Patriots and Bill Belichick are coming in, or hey, why am I drawing a blank? Dallas is coming in. Dak Prescott, Zeke. Philly, Washington, Buffalo, Miami, Jacksonville, and Seattle is not exactly a big ticket seller, in my opinion. The road games next year, Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota, Dallas, which would have been cool to see here, New England, which would have been cool to see here, the Giants, the Jets, and Carolina. 9 home games, 8 road games next year for 17. So, not all that appealing, AFC East and NFC East, but the two teams that I would have loved to have seen next year come in would have been Dallas and New England. And instead, both of those games are going to be on the road. So, there's that. All right, Thursday, we do the crossover with Peter Bukowski, working on another guest for tomorrow as well. Matt Derry with you on a Monday, Locked On Lions. Have a great one.